Now Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the CBS Radio Network.
Did you hear that? Did you hear that? I was tearing off a piece of paper here to get a clean...
Did they hear it?
...block to start with.
It's a nice sound effect. Save it. We can probably use it later. Whenever we can simulate tearing up the script and say we're going to ad-lib from here on out.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
Yeah, do it. We're going to tear up the script, folks, and really ad-lib our way...
There it is.
...for the rest of the program. And then we will see how we can do.
Say, Ray.
Yes, Bob?
What is on the program agenda for... tonight?
For tonight. Bob, I'm glad you asked me that. We have an offer from our overstocked warehouse... And we have a employment service.
Portion.
followed by Webley. Webster. Webley Webster, who will play the organ for you. For us.
Do you have a match?
Hey, fellas.
Yes.
Would you use the script?
Well, okay, I guess...
Because it'll be a lot better.
Maybe it'll sound the way we want it, huh?
Okay, sir, we will. Glad
friends, we've really done it this time.
Oh, boy, I'm telling you, the walls of the Bob and Ray overstocked warehouse are banked with sets of books all the way to the ceiling and back again.
Row upon row upon countless row of magnificent sets of the encyclopedic Book of Wonder. 40 volumes to the set.
That's right, friends. Approximately 140 pounds of illuminating, exciting, thought-provoking facts.
And each book is covered in genuine pigskin from pigs selected at birth and nurtured along on the finest slops available.
The color of the covers, a deep, rich maroon.
Which is about the color we turned when we checked the publication date of these books.
December 3rd, 1899.
Now, naturally, at first, we thought we'd been taken by the people who'd sold us these handsome sets.
But after the first flash of white-hot rage, we decided not to prosecute, sue, or otherwise badger the individuals with whom we'd made our deal.
Their loss is our gain.
Friends, we're going to tell you what a set of the 1899 Encyclopedic Book of Wonder can do for you.
Well, as I leaf through a sample copy here, it comes as no small thrill to rediscover the fact that the planet Earth has an atmosphere. Now, this same thrill is available to you.
Spring this piece of information on your friends. There are 12 gas stations in the United States. New York State is the leader with 2.
Or regale your friends with this tidbit from the Encyclopedic Book of Wonder. An excerpt from the literary section, which says, quote, Mark Twain is going places.
And it's quite possible that some of you might want to know the correct procedure for dumping sandbags from a balloon. You'll find it in one of these volumes.
That plus 1.5 million other pieces of dated but useful knowledge.
Now, there are those of you who want to get rid of the extraneous matter in the books, the pages, so you can do things with the genuine pigskin covers.
Now, with 40 pigskin covers, you can fashion a 20-foot-high briefcase.
Boating enthusiasts, attention, please. Be the first member of your yacht club with a maroon pigskin sail, a real eye-catcher.
And if you choose to leave the pages in the books, you'll find they make dandy doorstops, handy ammunition to throw at cats.
And if all the members of a family riffle the pages at once, an extraordinarily inexpensive air conditioning unit will be introduced into your home.
Yes, friends, these are but some of the many benefits to be derived from these priceless volumes.
All at a cost so precariously low that, if it were mentioned, it would send the market into a flurry of selling, perhaps force it to close early.
Now, you can keep the crate they come in, too. It can be used as a handy container for your set of the 1899 Encyclopedic Book of Wonder.
Now, for more information, drop a postcard tonight to Hidebound, CBS Radio, 485 Madison Avenue, New York City.
And we'll get it.
Good.
Just you bet on that.
Now, then.
We have a squint at this Sunday session of suspense, I guess.
Well, right? I don't have a copy of that, Bob. Would you tell me what it's all
well,
about?
Well, as always, it's going to be a tale well calculated to keep you indoors.
Oh? And the name of the story, I have my copy now, is Harrigan's Hangnail, starring Bruno Crump, man of 1,000 voices.
Most of which sounds like Bruno Crump with a head cold.
I wonder if we could get the control room to roll a tape for us. This is a tape-recorded interview, or a preview, of this coming Sunday show, would you? All right, go ahead, please. Good, good.
happened there.
Wait a minute. Was that the right tape? It was?
I think they're pulling some kind of a hoax on us.
Or at least a joke, maybe.
Well, maybe we'll just have to listen again Sunday to find out what suspense is really going to be about.
You'd think the program department would give us the right storyline just once.
Yes, you would, but...
They never do, do they?
What are you going to do? And this is the Bob and Ray Employment Service of the Air. Our hope is that we can dip into the extensive Bob and Ray job files and come up with something for you people seated on our hardwood bench. Shall we have the first job seeker, please?
I believe I'm the first in line here, Mr. Elliott.
I don't care anything about that kind of information. What's your name and what kind of a job are you looking for?
My name is Jarvis Maloney, and my occupation is so unusual, I doubt that you'll be able to help me, really.
Let me be the judge of that, will you, Maloney, please? I doubt if you know how unusual our files are. Now, what sort of work do you do?
Well, I'm a script writer for airline pilots. Mm-hmm. I write the speeches for the pilot. He reads them to the passengers over his intercom.
Well, this will surprise you, Maloney. We've got about 12 openings for that kind of work. Do you have any sample writing with you so we could just kind of see how you...
Yeah, I have some here in my briefcase.
I'd like to hear some of your stuff before I send you out on a job.
Okay.
I wouldn't want to buy a pig in a poke.
No.
And neither would any decent airline.
No.
Read me a sample, will you?
All right, I got one here. But remember, I'm not as experienced as pilots at reeling off this stuff, you know.
Oh, that's
so
all right.
Take that into account while I'm reading it.
Okay, well, we haven't got all day. Will you get to it, please?
Okay. Hello, I'm Captain... there's a dash here in the pilot's name.
Pilot's name,
there.
I know. Go ahead.
All right. I'll take it at the point where the pilot's name has just been mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Glad to have you on this aeroplane.
Aeroplane? They don't call it that. They call it an airliner.
You in the race, sir?
Well, there's no time for that. Just go on with the speech, will you?
We'll be cruising at an altitude of 420 miles per hour.
Wait a minute, Maloney. You're not an airline speechwriter, are you? Now, tell the truth.
You want the truth?
Yeah.
All right, I'll tell you the truth.
Please do.
20 years ago, I was the best airline speechwriter in the business. Airlines all over the country clamored for me. Pilots were fighting for my services, and I was tops. There were none better. And then it happened.
Maloney, you're holding things up here. We
made a mistake, just one little mistake. You'd think the airlines would overlook just one mistake, wouldn't
you? Well, let's hear about the mistake you made, and maybe we can figure
out... Well, we were at about 20,000 feet on this particular flight when I slipped the pilot the wrong speech. You probably know the speech. It's the one that ends with, I hope you've all enjoyed the flight, and thank you for being with us.
Well, now that, of course, is a bad speech for a pilot to read at 20,000 feet. I imagine most of the passengers rushed for the door and went through it, huh?
Well, most of them. Anyhow, I couldn't get a job after that.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my touch. Things went from bad to worse. Talk about hitting the skids.
Yeah.
When I...
Well, look, Maloney, have you ever done any writing for sightseeing bus drivers?
Mr. Allard, you don't understand. I love to fly. When I'm up there, it is the closest to nature, I suppose. It's like... Well, I can't explain it, but with me, it's flying and nothing.
Well, then it's nothing, I'm afraid. And as for the rest of you folks on our hardwood bench, Mr. Maloney took more time than I thought he would. And I see that the automatic lock on our extensive Bob and Ray employment files has just snapped shut. So you can all go home. And standing just to the left of our Bob and Ray broadcasting desk...
How do you do?
...is Wepley Webster.
Yes, sir. Bob, I'm more than delighted to oblige the many requests you've had in the mail for me to play at the huge organ.
Jealousy. Well, we have had quite a few requests from people who say that they would for once like to hear you play the whole thing. They think we seem to interrupt you too frequently and at the wrong moments.
Sir?
We thought we'd like to kind of straighten everything out today.
All right. Then, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll permit me, I should like to favor you here at the huge studio organ, now pumping air into it, the beloved, familiar, Jealous Hurt.
Thank you.
cut it right now.
There's a phone call for you in the control room if you'd get it.
Send us in. No. Calling me
now. You'll have a better chance. We've got to hurry right along here because it's Friday again, and of course that means time to close up CBS for the weekend. Famous locking the door ceremony. Featuring all of the cast and employees. The doorman standing at attention.
Ask off for the keys! Now! Fight! Ask off to the keys! By the sender! Quick! Stop!
All of the executives are out, aren't they?
Yes, we hope so.
Hold! Ask off for the keys! Out!
Who comes there?
Yeah.
Who's keys?
What
keys? An old well!
Ask off for the keys! By the sender! Quick!
By the center, and that's it.
You know it. And that is certainly it for the weekend.
Well, I feel safe now that we've locked it up for till Monday.
We'll have our weekend goodbye for you in just 10 seconds.
Here's what we've been waiting for, our weekend goodbye here.
So long, everybody. See you Monday. Till then, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumb.